Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, who wants to ride that wave of love? There's a love I can feel, rising with the dawn, reaching out to help us heal, like ripples on a pond, offering us a choice. In these days to come, to ride the waves and be our voice for peace under the sun. Hey, everybody, surf's up, riding the wave of love, high on heaven above, dancing down to earth, the beautiful rebirth, riding the wave of love.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. I am just so excited to be here and have my friend Aaliyah Shaum be here with us. Aaliyah, you want to say hi?
Hi.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Living Eden. And your host, I am Sharon Walker, welcoming you. And Living Eden is the program devoted to inspire and empower us into our divine brilliance, always bringing new paradigm concepts, new projects, virtual journeys, meditations, and loving awareness. So we're here today to ride this wave of love with Aaliyah and have a fun time and enjoy each other and be raised. And I invite you to, you can go online and look up magical places on the earth. There's lots of magical places listed. And that will give us a connection to the planet in a whole new way and related to Aaliyah's book also. So let's take some beautiful, big, deep cosmic breaths, doing our galactic breathing. Breathing in full and big from your belly up to your chest and your neck and your head and through your heart and the Earth's heart and the galactic heart and the divine cosmic heart. And then holding that for a second and breathing out. And feel your energy moving through down into your body. Down through your body, through your hips, down your legs, into the earth, through your earth star, just below your feet, and down into the center of the earth. Bringing your presence deeper and deeper into yourself. Feeling your breath inside of you. And taking another breath as you breathe in, drawing in the conscious connection with the divine. Through your heart, through Earth's heart, through the galactic heart, through the divine heart, into your pineal gland, and then coming as you release, releasing anything that keeps you from connecting to the divine and to your own presence. And let go. Bringing yourself deeper into you, into your amazing presence. Feeling that in your body as it moves down. Deeper and deeper through your body, down. down through your legs into the earth. And welcoming, earth welcoming your presence, grounded. And one more breath. Filling your body. Deep and full and into your pineal gland. And releasing yourself into the welcoming presence of the divine. So that within the breath you and the divine are one, hugging each other in your body. And from that space is a beautiful energy ball created just for this show, full of magical places energy from the earth, full of the 13 goddess archetypal energies, full of the Christ consciousness matrix, and the great mother being her womb. And the pulse beat within your body, and the pulse beat of the universe in its infinite hugeness. And every beat saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And in that energy bowl, We'll just take a minute to be there and feel it. And make sure your shadow is there too. Being loved and caressed and known. And transformed. And now I would like to introduce Aaliyah Shaum. Aaliyah is a transformational fiction writer for 9 to 12 year olds. She's also a dear friend of mine. Her book, Grandmother You, intrigues children with a princess, fairies, and a mystical being who lives in a yew tree. Interspersed throughout the story are journal entries of a modern-day girl and writing prompts for the reader. Aaliyah utilizes her skills as an upper elementary educator in her exploration of personal growth and mysticism to create a very compelling novel. And Aaliyah, I want to welcome you to Living Eden and our callers who will be connecting with us during the week.
Thank you, Sharon. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your radio show today.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure and honor for me to have you here. And I'm so excited about your new book and so grateful to have been part of the journey for you creating it and bringing it through to all of us. Could you share with us what inspired you to write this amazing book?
Yes, and I want to say before I even share that your support throughout this journey has been part of my inspiration, and I wanted to make sure that you know and that each person that I've interacted with on this journey, they have all supported me in many different ways. The journey started 2 years this next fall. with a vision of a setting in an ancient time, and a young girl, and a mystical being that lived in a yew tree. All of that just appeared one day for me, and I just started writing, and my commitment was that I was going to write whatever came to me each day, and as long as there was joy in what I was doing, I would keep doing it. And now, and that is still true. Every single day, this book has brought me joy, either in the creative process or in connecting with others, or discovering who I am through what I'm writing. So that's what inspired me.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you listened to your inspirations and that your journey has been continually inspiring you. Wow. And can you start, too, by sharing with us the different parts of the book that are offered?
Yes. The book has three different elements in it. The majority of the book is a fictional story about Princess Lynella, who is destined to be queen of her island kingdom, and she acquires a teacher, Grandmother Yew, who she meets in a wonderful, beautiful way. And Grandmother Yew lives inside a yew tree, or down. She actually, you go into the yew tree and then go down steps into an amazing cavern, and that's where Grandmother Yew lives. So Princess Lynella is visiting Grandmother Yew and receiving lessons on how to be the type of queen that will bring peace to her kingdom. She's 11 years old when she meets Grandmother Yew. And then another part of the book is a journal of a modern-day girl named Meg. And Meg is reading this story, and she is applying the lessons that Grandmother Yew is giving to her own life. Then the third part of the book is the reader's journal, and it is an invitation for each reader to apply these lessons into their individual lives. So I invite the reader to journal, and I give some writing prompts for each one of those sections.
And you do an amazing job at all sections of this book. All of them are very inspirational and brilliantly put together. And I've been reading the book, and even as an adult, I have gotten a lot of inspirations, and I'm reading it and thinking, wow, this is my friend. I am so proud of you and so excited that this book is brilliantly layered. It isn't just, I don't know what word to use, but it's actually deeply layered, maybe infinitely layered, and that you can be whoever you are or whatever age you are and be picking up things that are specific to whatever spirit in yourself is needing, and very transformational because of the layering, and also because of your ability from all of your life that you've developed to be speaking with people in ways that invites them to grow and honors them.
Well, thank you, Sharon. You honor me with your reflections on it. I feel like the book wrote me. I didn't write the book. And each one of the pieces that appeared in the book, in terms of layering of the balance of nature and nature rituals and equality of men and women and friendship issues and the supernatural and as well as the natural, all of those things just came forth as I was writing. So when I read it now, I'm as surprised as you are.
Oh, that's exciting too, that you're so layering your own being into the book.
Mm-hmm. And I just recently met with somebody I'd asked to read the book who I taught with for probably 10 years, and she just kept saying over and over as she was going through the pages and giving me feedback on some editing ideas, she kept saying, "Aaliyah, this book is you. This book is just you, all you." Mm-hmm. And of course, I find that really interesting, because another layer is this whole thing of grandmother Yu, Y-E-W, is the name of, Y-E-W is the name of a tree, but it also is pronounced the same as Y-O-U. And in my introduction letter that I have to the reader, I tell them that they meet Grandmother Yu and they meet Princess Lanella, but they also meet somebody else, and that is Y-O-U, Yu, and that through their journaling that they can discover themselves through this book, or even through reading it. It's two different levels. In reading a book, we discover ourselves, but when we journal about it, it's much more conscious and expands to a new level.
I agree. And also interrelationships in this book, and how brilliant you can be in interrelationships when you use different levels that you are coming from. And you make that very clear, at least to me, when I'm reading the book, and it reminds me of a joke that my husband sent to me today on the internet. And this, these two people, a guy in the one car and a woman in the car behind him, are coming up to a light that is green. And when they get to the intersection, it turns yellow. And the guy stops at the yellow light. And the woman behind him gets really, really angry. And she starts screaming at him from her car and honking really loud. And she doesn't realize that there's a policeman right behind her. And he gets out of his car and comes up to her, and he arrests her. And he takes her to the police station, and they question her and all this. And later, they put her in a cell. And later he comes back and they take her out and he says, "I am going to release you, but I want you to know the reason you got arrested is because the back of your car is covered with Christian sayings about loving each other, all different kinds." And he said, "When I saw that and I saw what you were doing, I thought you had stolen the car." So when I'm reading your book and I'm seeing the way that the young princess changes her relationships with people because of what's going on in the book, she moves into a whole different being, and it made me remember that joke.
Yes, and we all have times when we look like we're in a stolen car.
Definitely.
And so
your
does
book
Vanilla.
Teaches. Yes, she does, and it teaches inspirationally beautiful ways to function in those kind of situations. So I really love that children are reading these books, and it empowers them. It empowers all of us.
Yes, well, that's my intention with it. I felt like so much that I've learned as an adult that I wished I had more of that learning as a child, and have hoped that as we have all evolved more and more into the Living Eden, that children are getting these concepts. And part of me wondered if I really was writing it for children of today. Maybe they already have all this. But the feedback I've received and my experience with children has indicated that they do need these. They do need to be reading about and characters and having personal heroes that are incorporating the lessons that Grandmother Yu teaches.
Yes, and then maybe they won't have to be shooting each other in schools.
Yes.
I notice that you're using poetry for Grandma Yu's way of talking to Lanella. Can you expand on that for us? What kind and why? And
well, it's a couple of things. One is that she speaks of what I would call free verse. It is not rhyming, but it's just essential words. Very few. I mean, as much as possible, all of the pronouns and that sort of thing. So this one, I just opened to a page in the book, and I'm just going to read a few lines. This is Grandmother Yu speaking. Listen carefully, father and mother wise, flora and fauna teaches. Fairies serve all who serve Great Mother. Even stars acknowledge your presence. Receive all sources of wisdom. Listen to inner voice. So that's the way Grandmother Yu speaks, and it's a contrast. It makes her unique, to me, it enhanced her, the specialness of her as a teacher.
I like, and it really does do that. Even that you make her words, her poetry, larger than the other words.
Yes, you mean it, and the font in the book is different.
Right.
Grandmother Yu speaks, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that Lanella does a really good job of listening. I think a piece of that would be in our life that we listen better when it's not the same sound and the same thing over and over again.
Yes. Grandmother Yu never repeats herself except in her greeting and in her blessing at the end of each interaction. But her advice is new each time.
Right, and stands out more because of the size of the font and because that it's poetry instead of regular verse.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you see that affecting the children who are reading it?
Well, I was just thinking of them and their comments. I have only, I mean, it's very, since the book is not published yet, I've had a really small group of kids that have actually read it, but I was blessed to have a circumstance this last spring where I did meet with 10 fourth and fifth graders once a week, and they read a section of the book each week. I just printed out a section each week, and so one of the things they said was, I mean, some of them really liked the way Grandmother Yu spoke, and some of them had a hard time understanding her. So, and I expect that with that something unique like this. I know when I read books and the person changes voice, sometimes I relate to it and sometimes I don't. But one thing they did say is I asked him about Meg's journal, which is in the voice of a fifth grader, and they said that the journal really helped them to understand Grandmother Yu's lessons in a modern day, more practical way. So where I think a lot of fiction books have messages in them, but oftentimes they're subtle and it's not a conscious thing that you come away with. With the Meg's journal and, of course, their own journaling, they actually get to put the events of this book into their own lives.
That's really a gift, a huge gift, that things are happening that way with the children. And I'm glad to hear. I want to bring up what Aaliyah was saying. She's doing a class with these children to get feedback. She's actually using what the children are giving her to relook at her book if she thinks it needs to, and changing it. So these children are getting a lot from doing this class with her. And one of the things she asked them at the end of the class, what was the biggest thing that they got out of it? Leah, you want to share some of that?
Well, yes. And first off, the basic things that Grandmother Yu teaches Lynella is to be present through using her five senses, to contemplate, to express and experience gratitude, to be creative, to use her intuition, and to be compassionate. And so that last class, I asked them which ones they felt like had the most impact on their life. A lot of them mentioned gratitude, several of them mentioned creativity. The one that really stood out for me was this one young man that said intuition was the one that he felt like had the biggest impact on him. And he had told us during the meetings that we had had that he was pretty much of a mathematician, science kind of kid. And that creativity and intuition were new arenas in his life, and that he was just beginning to see how math and science could be linked to creativity and intuition. So that was really, really special for him to say that was the one that had the most impact on him. And just some back knowledge there. Intuition was one that I thought, well, surely these kids know much more about intuition than I did when I was at their age. And yet the week that was Grandmother Yu's lesson, I asked them, how many of you know what the word intuition means? And I had some very timid half hand raising of hands. And comments like, well, I've heard the word, and some of them hadn't even heard the word, but the few that spoke up, but I'm not really sure what it means. So it it just brought out for me how incredibly important I think it is for that to be a part of the book.
And how blessed those children are to be in a space where who they are, actually children are extremely intuitive just without knowing what they're doing. And to have someone showing them and honoring them and encouraging them to connect consciously with being intuitive so that as they grow up, they'll be able to develop that more and more. And I see your book doing that in a lot of areas.
Yes.
And them coming to know themselves more. That's beautiful. And you say in that beginning part of the book, too, that you've come to know yourself more. You want to expand on that a little?
Well, I think I've already spoken to it some in that the book wrote me, and as I was writing, it enabled me to see what my journey has been all these years with my own personal growth, and to come to a place of what are the basic skills that are aspects of my life that I value, that I've discovered. I also did not know myself as a fiction writer. I had certainly done some nonfiction kind of writing, but this was a whole new genre for me, I couldn't do it until I had come to the point where I could truly trust, that I could truly trust to sit down at the keyboard and just start writing. This book did not have a outline or a pre-plan at all. I did not know where it was going. I was led. And characters actually came into the book that I didn't have any premonition that they were going to come in. And so, you know, I've heard people talk about the muse and about channeling and that sort of thing, but it's always been something that other people do and that isn't a part of me. And what I really realized as I was doing that is that is available to all of us. It's not just some special few. If we're just willing to trust, to sit down and let come out of you what it is that wants to speak.
Yes, thank you. I'm telling myself to listen to you.
As I tell myself also. I'm only speaking to you or me.
Oh, what fun. I know sometimes, not very often, but once in a while I've done that. I've just sat down and wrote. And I look at what I wrote and I go, where did that come from?
Yes.
So I and Aaliyah and I invite all of you who are listening to try doing that for yourself. It's quite a gift to discover.
Yes, it is.
And let's see here. There's a part that you're talking about in the book where Lynella needs to, I'm not sure, did she need to learn to play the flute? Did she have to? Or
The lute was part of,
yeah, right.
of her lessons, yes. And
oh, it was
she,
part of her. Be-
she did not. She liked. She had singing and lute lessons with the bard and she liked the singing, but she didn't like the lute.
And she felt like she could not learn to play the lute.
Right.
And I love how you worked through that with between grandmother, you, and her lady-in-waiting, and Lanella, and the lute.
it was part of the whole creativity part. When Grandmother Yu told Lanella her next lesson was creativity, and that the challenge she put to her was to use her creativity to increase her lute playing skills. And Lanella really struggled with that. That was one of the kind of the dark night of her of the soul kind of thing, where she almost gave up and she just could not figure it out, and went back to kind of her spoiled little girl self, where she just pouted. But eventually, what Grandmother Yu kept kind of hinting to her or letting her know in a subtle way was, take the things that you're good at and apply it to what you're trying to learn. So creativity is often connecting what comes naturally to us to something that is new and difficult. So I'm not going to tell any more than that.
No, I won't
you
either.
You have to read the book to find out.
But I really encourage you all to read this book and find out what comes from that.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. And Aaliyah is calling this book a transformational interactive fiction. And I think this
Sharon,
is a new
genre. The word interactive, I am playing with. The whole thing, I'm still trying to find, since once I finished it and now that I'm thinking about sharing it with the world, it isn't published yet, but that process I'm entering into now, is that when you call, there are children's novels that are, you choose the adventure kind of novels where something happens and then you choose A and B, A or B, and if you choose B, then you turn to that section of the book. And that is what oftentimes people think of as interactive novels for this age group. So I'm still looking for the right word to call this, because the interactive part in this book is obviously the invitation for the reader to journal. May come up with a new term, or we may just have to explain how we mean interactive. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. And interactive with the characters. The journaling from Meg and their journaling makes there be an interaction with the characters, I think, too.
Yes. Yes, I agree. So, I'm still exploring this. I feel like I have created something that so far I have not found any other book exactly like this one out there for actually at any level. I hope my book inspires other people to do similar kinds of things with what they're writing.
Well, I'm sure it will. And we'll be all seeing each other with new eyes, which is part of your book, too.
Yes. That was part of the first lesson was Grandmother Yu talking about experiencing the world through all five senses, and Lanella pretty much went, well, I already do that, you know, what's the big deal here? And so Grandmother Yu said, see your world with new eyes, and Lanella discovered that when she focused on being fully present, what she saw and how she saw it deepened and shifted.
And then changed her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Her interactions. And one of the other things that the journaling that the children do also, would you say that that gets them to know each other differently?
Yes, that if the book is written in a group setting, yes, well, they are writing their book. If the book is read in a group setting, then the kids, the students love to share their journal entries and discover each other through their journal entries. And that certainly happened with the group of 10 fourth and fifth graders that I worked with this spring. The other thing is that it is part of my big plan is to have a place on my website where readers can post their journal entries so that even if you're reading the book alone, you can go onto the website and read other students' journal entries.
Oh, this book is really expansive. I'm interested to watch it even expand more.
And when I started out, it was one book. And the muse ended the book before I thought it was going to end. I wrote a chapter and thought, okay, now we're going to do this. And all of a sudden I got, no, this is the end of this book, and what the now we're going to do this is the next book. So my stepping into the arena of writing a children's novel is now, from what I can see at this moment in time, which I don't want to say anything for sure because I never know until I sit down to write, is that this will be 3 or 4 books.
Wow. And it certainly has enriched your life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some things that Grandmother Yu, in leading Lanella into this new arena of her life, has invited her, and because she's the princess and she needs training because she's in line to become the queen, there are other things that she's being trained in too. I was wondering if you would like to use some piece of that to do the closing meditation for the show. And then after you do the meditation, We'll give people some information to follow through.
Okay, so we'll do that. Tell them how they can stay connected with me and that sort of thing after the meditation.
Well, you can do it before if you feel that that is better.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So. As I have said, this book is not published yet, but I am. I have a email address that is specifically for Grandmother Yu, and if you email me and ask to be on my email list, I will keep you informed, either by linking you to the website that is in process of being built at this point in time. So that email address is info, I-N-F-O, at grandmotheryu, and that's Y-E-W, .com. So not granny or grandfather, but grandmotheryu, Y-E-W, .com. So, if you do that, then you'll be part of the group that that I, once the copy is ready to go to print, I will send you the first 20 pages just in a PDF file for you to get a to be able to read just the beginning of the book and then keep you informed when it becomes a print book and also an e-book. So thank you so much. I hope to hear from some of you.
Oh, yes. Oh, I really call all of the people who listen to this to go to info@grandmotheryou.com and connect with Aaliyah and be part of what's happening with this amazing book. And also, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Living Eden and go to the bottom of the page to comments and send in any sharings or questions or comments that are important to you that you would like follow through on. Or you can go to IamGoddessIam.com to the bottom of the page for comments and do the same thing. We would love to hear from you, both of us. And
yes,
we're thrilled to bless everyone who is listening and invite you to continue listening. And you're important. You're extremely important. Each and every one of us has a unique piece to offer for the creation, the co-creation of a new planet that is bottom line, love, abundance, joy, peace, and whatever is important to you. And now there's a couple of other ways that you can be supported to be on this journey also, besides all of the people that you've been introduced to and projects that you've been introduced to on Living Eden. There's my girlfriends, Stacy and Valinda, who have crystalvibrationsjewelry.com, have created Swarovski crystal jewelry with the energies in them that you can pick to hold the vibration, help you hold your vibration in the spaces that you want so that you have extra support for that. And on my website, you can also get a CD, The Divine Feminine Garden Within, to help support you in being more connected to the feminine divine. Men and women have both. So, and now I'm going to turn this over to Aaliyah for our closing meditation. And thank you. I'm so full of gratitude, Aaliyah.
Too, Sharon. I'm so grateful to have you as a friend. So just to let you know where this meditation is coming from is that Lanella's main teacher is Grandmother Yu, but her father's teacher is a man named Wizard Karen. And Lanella has one lesson from Wizard Karen. And that's, and we're going to use the combination of the lesson on gratitude and the lesson from Wizard Karen to put into a meditative experience.
And can I offer a little piece?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What we called in the beginning to check in on the magical lands on our planet, that be also energies that we're bringing into this wonderful meditation with Aaliyah. Thank you, Aaliyah.
Thank you. So close your eyes and tune in to your breath. Notice the rise and fall of your chest, of your belly. And let's be present to our gratitude. There are so many things that we have the opportunity to be grateful for that sometimes it can be overwhelming. So what we're going to do is focus on four areas for to help us sort out our gratitude, to express our gratitude in a more focused way. So with your next breath, focus on the east. And that may be that if you are aware of which direction is east, you can actually look that way and then close your eyes again. Or you can just think about the east in your own mind. For some of you, the east means looking out to water. For all of us, the east is where the sun rises. So in the east is the prosperity of life. So as you're breathing, give gratitude for all the ways that your life is prosperous. Think about your home, your family, the things that nurture you physically and emotionally. Prosperity comes in many, many different flavors. Expand out to the prosperity that this time of year, of all the blooming of flowers and the greening of grass, the abundance. Just breathe in all of that, and with your out breath, send out gratitude. And now we're going to shift our attention to the south. So you can do that either physically or just mentally. I think of the south as always being warmer and more loving. It's the music of life, the joy. So we're going to express our gratitude for the things that fill your heart. Your loved ones, your friends, your ways of expressing your creativity. And what else? Yes, and that. And that. Breathe in all of those joyous moments, joyous parts of your life, and breathe out your sincere gratitude out into the universe. And now let's look to the west. We know the west is the setting sun, and I think of it as where we're headed. And in order to go where we're headed, our path is energized, and I see the pebbles along the path are learning moments, and that learning can come from a book or an experience or conversation or a movie we watch. Think about all of the things you've learned in the past day, in the past week. Give thanks for what you've learned throughout your whole life. And know that each of those learnings is what has brought you to this moment in time on your personal path. In the next step, you will be learning something new. Take in your nice deep breath, take in all that you have learned and your openness to learning even more. And with your exhale, send out your gratitude for how your life is enriched through all the knowledge available to you. And now let's turn to the north. The north is often where the storms come from. The north is our opportunity to reflect on our inner turmoil, our inner struggles, which of course have growth potential in each one of them. The north is also about being strong. It's the warrior. And knowing what it is that you truly value, that's worth fighting for. Express your gratitude for all of the gifts from the north, whether they be conflicts you wish you weren't having, or they be values that you have a strong, strong connection with. It's so important to give thanks for these things. Take in a deep breath and notice how it feels to give thanks to the north. And then breathing out slowly, let all your breath out, letting your gratitude for the storms and the struggles and the commitment. So mentally or physically, we need to complete the circle by going back to the east. And now that we are in the east again, let's remember to feel grounded, to connect with Mother Earth, and give thanks for all that she provides us. The nurturing on so many levels. And then also to give thanks to the heavens. You can do that by stretching your arms up high and reaching up to the sky. And now that you've got your arms up there stretched, as you bring them down to your side, kind of do a little dance with them. Let your arms just reach out all over and just bringing all the abundance, all of the gratitude that you have just expressed into your heart by fluttering those arms down and putting your hands on your heart. Breathe in to your heart. and breathe out the joyous love to all. Namaste.
And thank you, Aaliyah.
Thank you.
And namaste to you and all of our listeners. And we'll be with you all again next week. Actually, yes. Okay. And have a wonderful time during this week together. Bye now.